1, 21 through 28. Jesus and his followers went into Capernaum. Immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and started teaching. The people were amazed by his teaching, for he was teaching them with authority, not like the legal experts. Suddenly, there in the synagogue, a person with an evil spirit screamed, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One from God." "Silence," Jesus said, speaking harshly to the demon. "Come out of him." The unclean spirit shook him and screamed. Then it came out. Everyone was shaken and questioned among themselves, "What's this? A new teaching with authority? He even commands unclean spirits, and they obey him." Right away, the news about him spread throughout the entire region of Galilee. These are the words of God. Thanks be to God.
Tone. Okay. I was muted. Okay. Now that we've got through our technical glitch for the morning, again, I welcome you to our worship service. This morning, we are hearing about something from Mark's gospel that is kind of alien to us as 21st century people. We are hearing about the idea of a demon or demons overtaking a person and Jesus commanding it and casting it out. Now, I'm not here to discuss the merits of believing in demons or how you understand demons. I am here to talk to you about, as human beings during our lives, we can become possessed by things that control us instead of us controlling them. And we're all susceptible to this. We all have to deal with it. What I'm saying is that as human beings, we become possessed by unhealthy or things that we have either accepted or things that sometimes we even invite into our lives, just things that are destructive that we don't realize we're doing that are destructive, and we just continue to do it. It starts with a simple choice. A decision to do something becomes an adaptive behavior, a way of seeing the world, a way of treating other people. All of these are part of living as human beings. We do these things. Problem is, we are creatures of habit, and everything we do might become a habit that possesses us rather than us possessing it. Possession takes place when we are no longer in control of that which we have accepted or invited into our lives. We understand that people lose control. Mind-altering substances take their control away from them. As a former substance abuse counselor, I can tell you for a fact, you don't just get rid of that. It goes with you for the rest of your life. And you have to deal with it every day, in some cases every second of every day. And you have to be aware of it, or it will come back and take you again. We have other things that take control of our lives. But let's talk about the preacher who asked this elderly lady how is it with your soul, was his question to her. And she looked at him and she replied, "The old devil's been giving me a rough time." And her husband chimed in immediately and said, "Hold on now, she's not too easy to live with herself." Now, I got to tell you, I believe that the husband lost control in that situation. It was a conditioned response. It was a practiced response. It was a normal response for him. But I believe he was out of control for how he really felt about God and about his wife in that moment. And he said things that probably were not constructive to his relationship with anybody. Okay? That's what I hear in our gospel lesson today. The man with an unclean spirit comes to Jesus, and the unclean spirit understands who Jesus is better than anyone else in the room. The man with the unclean spirit is on the margins of society. He's on the margins of sanity. It's unclear what this unclean spirit is. Mark doesn't really say that, but he does know who Jesus is, and he tells him so. Jesus of Nazareth, I know who you are, the Son of God. And he goes on, and Jesus stops him. Stop. God calls stop to the demon, and he cast him out. And he cast him out of the man. The man convulses. It's not an easy thing for God to, you know, we wrestle with the demon as it goes out. We wrestle with the unclean spirits as they leave us. They don't want to leave us. We don't necessarily want to let go of them. But when God calls silence, the demon obeys. And we do what we have to get along. You know, Mark gives no indication of what's going on here except it's a demon. He hasn't told us anything about the things that Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. He hasn't showed us that Jesus has going to do things that are amazing anywhere else. He simply starts out his gospel in chapter 1 by telling us that Jesus is in the synagogue teaching, and this man with the unclean spirit comes in, and Jesus has the power to take the unclean spirit out of the man. Mark's point, I believe, is that the will and purpose of God present in Jesus Christ is engaging and fighting against the purposes of evil that exist among humanity. It's a battle not fought just at highest levels of government or industry, but right here in the midst of us, in the midst of common people. The battle is in the heart of each and every one of us. It is a battle between good and evil. It is a battle between life and living it to the fullest, or just existing. Something else that takes place that most of us lose control of periodically, and it sometimes just runs rampant over us, and we don't even know we've lost control, is fear. You know, life can be scary. Too often we are like the man in today's gospel reading who, though strong and healthy in appearance, in reality he was very ill. Consider the new nurse who asked the doctor, "Is that man over there really sick?" "He surely is," answered the doctor gravely. "I don't know if I've ever seen a more serious set of complications. For 40 years, he has suffered from the agonies of imaginitis, scarecoma, apprehendicitis, and general fearosis of living." Now, perhaps Mexican bullfighter El Cordobé put it best when he was asked if he was afraid of death, and he answered, "No. Only life scares me." I think we can all identify with that. Kathleen Norris writes that when she thinks about her demons, and she has to look inward to her heart and to her soul, and she identifies anger as her best demon. Let me say that again. She identifies anger as her best demon. She calls it her best demon because it is very useful whenever she has to become a woman warrior, when she has to go into that mode so that she can make things happen and do things and take care of things. But it's harmful when she uses it for self-gratification, self-justification, or to deny that she has fears. Kathleen's husband once told her that her mean streak grieved him, not because of the pain that it caused him, but because it was doing harm to her. And she says that remark felt like an exorcism to her. And then she quickly notes that her temptation to anger was not magically gone. She still has to deal with the temptation, but now she pays closer attention to something that desperately needs attention. Now she pays attention to her marriage and not trying to hurt her marriage. Still, even now, though, sometimes God has to call silence, and Jesus called that demon out of her because she has no power to deal with it on her own. It is only when we listen to God's call silence that we can actually be stopped in our tracks, and the unclean spirits recognize that God is speaking to them, that Jesus is calling them out, and we can recognize the need for Jesus Christ in our lives to save us from ourselves. we can recognize our need for Jesus Christ to save us from ourselves. That's when we realize how out of control we really have become. Philip Anderson tells about an eye-opening experience he had while visiting his sister. At the time, she was director of patient services in a children's unit at a large hospital. The day he visited her, she was giving him a tour through the unit. He said as they walked along, they could hear a cry of a baby coming from one of the rooms. As they eventually came to that room, he saw the crying baby, and his heart sank. He couldn't believe his eyes. The child was maybe a year old and covered from head to toe with terrible bruises, scratches, and scars. Philip thought that the baby might have been in a horrible accident, but as he got close enough to see the baby's legs, his heart sank even more. He saw the terrible truth. Written in ink all over the baby's legs were sick obscenities. The terrible truth was that this child had been a victim of its parents' abuse. His sister showed him scars on the bottom of the baby's feet caused by cigarette burns. Can you imagine it? Parents had battered and abused their own child. Philip wanted to scream and cry. It was incomprehensible to him. He could not understand how anyone could be so cruel to a baby, or to any other human being for that matter. That child from very early in life was on the margins of society. He, through no fault of his own, was on the margins of sanity. He had no control over the circumstances or his conditioned responses. But then, as Philip's sister leaned over the crib, very carefully she picked him up. Very tenderly and lovingly she held the baby close to her. At first, the baby stiffened and cringed. It screamed even more. The child was suspicious of every touch, but as she held the baby securely and warmly, she rocked him lovingly and gently patted his back, and in spite of all the past experiences, in spite of all the conditioned responses, the baby began to relax, then stopped crying altogether. Philip's sister served there as an agent of Christian love to a damaged child. She soothed the baby's pain. She calmed the baby down. All the pain, all the evil, all the horror that child had experienced were relieved by this loving act, at least temporarily. The baby knew peace. In our lives, we experience much agony, much pain. And it affects the way we deal with life, the way we deal with each other. We lose control of those unhealthy responses and are at the mercy of the evil that grows within us. God calls silence, quiets the evil within us, and calls it out. But much like the baby Philip Anderson talked about, it is a temporary thing. Soon, the baby returns to its fearful understanding of relationships for his entire life. But that loving touch, that expression of compassion, and the child can encounter from others allows the baby to grow and be able to control his anxieties and his fears much better. We're like that. We have things we cannot control, things that we let take control of us without even knowing it, things we've trained ourselves to let take control of us, and we don't even acknowledge that it's a problem anymore. God calls it out. And then we invite it back in, slowly but surely, sometimes unintentionally. We let it back in. Roger Ray tells of being a naive and very sincere young man when he wrote a letter to a missionary in New Guinea. Roger said he was 19, he was a college student, and he was trying to make sense out of the Bible. He was reading the Gospels with an ardent desire to believe what he was reading, but he kept getting hung up on these stories about demon exorcisms. If the Gospels were true, then there were real demons in the world, and yet he didn't see any of them. The only ones who knew about were quacks or nutcases doing demon exorcisms on television. Someone in his campus ministry suggested that we can no longer see the demons in the civilized world, but missionaries in the remote parts of the world still see them. Roger knew a missionary in a remote part of the world, a terrible primitive region of New Guinea, so he wrote to the missionary. Roger wanted the missionary to validate the biblical stories about demons by telling him that he, the missionary, had heard them speak and had witnessed exorcisms. Roger had hoped that he could tell him some really hair-raising stories. It took several weeks for Roger to receive an answer to the letter, and it took Roger a few years to understand the answer to the letter. 19 years old, he got the response, and there was no response to his request for a description of face-to-face encounters with a demonic force. Nothing was said about hearing demons speak or about exorcism. Nothing. The missionary did, however, say that there were demons in New Guinea, and that he was shocked that Roger had not seen any where he lived in Memphis, Tennessee. Do you not see the demons at work in pornography, in prostitution, in racial hatred, and in poverty? The missionary asked. Now, at first, Roger, 19 years old, didn't understand the question the missionary asked him. Later, it became obvious to Roger that it was he who misunderstood, not the missionary. Racism, poverty, and the whole abuse of women in the sex industry were certainly obviously present in the city where he lived, and he accepted those things that were evil. But those were everyday things. Things that were always there and would always be there. Roger wanted to hear about something more biblical, about demons speaking to the missionary, or some vision of a demon possession. And the missionary just wanted to talk to Roger about ordinary everyday stuff. It is in the midst of the ordinary everyday stuff that our unhealthy habits take control. It is so normal for us, we do not recognize the evil at work within us when we lose control to the evil one. Only when God calls silence to the evil can we stop and recognize our own personal need for Jesus Christ to take the evil away. Without Christ, we cannot get rid of the evil. They are destroying us. God calls silence, commands us to let the evil controlling him go. Now we have to do that. God can cast it out, but we have to cooperate with it. We have to keep it out. We have to let go of those bad coping skills, those worse habits that we've carefully crafted throughout our entire lives, and heed the call of God to change. We must always be alert that our bad habits will come back again and again and again and tempt us to reject the call of God. Yet, each time we slip, God calls silence to the evil in us and once more commands us to change. Today I have a challenge for you. I challenge each and every one of you and us, me too, to listen for God's call for us today. Hear God's call silence as he commands the demons to leave us, the unclean spirits to go away, and commands us to change from our unhealthy coping skills and destructive habits and live life that God has always planned for us, a happy, healthy life, a life in Christ, a life of joy, and a life of peace.